This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you think of the Blackhawks goalie Spencer Knight's debut, as well as what he had to say about getting traded from Stanley Cup champion to one of the worst teams in the NHL?
I was very surprised. But I think when you turn pro, you realize that that's always a possibility. I've seen it happen a few times. So I've always known that's a possibility, and that's the world that we live in, and we choose to live in as professional hockey players. So I'm just happy to be here.
So what did you think of Spencer Knight's performance last night and those words we just heard?
What a great night indeed. He was everything the Hawks could have hoped for. This was a kid who was traded and was rendered speechless by the deal. He said it himself after he found the words to describe his emotions. He was on a team that has as high of a standard in the NHL as any team in the league. The Florida Panthers are going for it. And part of that involved being willing to part with a prospect as highly regarded as Spencer Knight. 13th overall pick of the 2019 draft out of Boston College. He was a valuable piece of the Florida Panthers, 12-8-1. Backup goalies are hard to find in the NHL, and he was a good one. Now he's a starter. I don't know if they've broken the news or how they told Arvid Soderblom or Peter Mrazek to a lesser degree, but their time is over. Soderblom can still figure into the mix somehow, maybe as a backup, maybe as competition. Mrazek, his deal, $4.5 million. It's going to be hard to move him before the deadline on Friday. But make no mistake, this is Spencer Knight's moment. And it was certainly his night last night. 41 saves. That's a good way to say, hello, Chicago, I'm here. Everything is going to be fine eventually. Once they surround Connor Bedard with talent, once they fortify that blue line with the young talent in the pipeline, this is going to be a quality hockey team again. So they say. That's the promise. But with Spencer Knight here, it's easy to see why they think he can deliver.
Oh, what a night. Early March in 25. Ah, darn it.
You guys planned that. You guys planned that. It's so good.
Pick Six is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. It was excellent. I was trading texts with a buddy of mine who lives down in South Florida, is a big fan of Spencer Knight, asked me what I thought of Seth Jones. I'm now thinking about sending him your opening statements this morning, David. David not shy about his not big love affair with Seth Jones. He made a great debut, stopped 41 King shots last night. I don't think he really gets any better than that. And after the Hawks took a 1-0 lead, he allows a goal, and then that was it. And then the Hawks went on their way. So that was great. He wants to be he should be playing basically 3 out of every 4 games.
Agree.
This should not be a 3-goalie rotation moving forward.
Nope.
Or what are we doing here? So, Peter Mrazek, see ya.
Tonight's going to be a good night. Hey. Okay, that was mine. You guys took my, oh, what a night, so I had to come up with something. Listen, I've talked about it when I worked at NBC6 in South Florida, I covered Spencer Knight, his rookie season, when he made his debut, and the South Florida community, hockey community, was on the rise. Spencer Knight electrified that building every night that he was in net, to the point where there's a tradition in Florida Panthers hockey. When you sing the national anthem, they always yell, and the Rockets red glare, and they yell red. That's a tradition. When Spencer Knight got off to such a great start with the Florida Panthers, the crowd would add another yelling noise, and they would say, gave proof through the night, and they would yell Knight. When he would start. It was electric, and I was there the first night covering the game, and I was there the first night that it happened, and I had goosebumps. That's everywhere. Cool. It's an incredible story. He's a great kid, young man, and Blackhawks fans need something to root for these days.
No doubt.
Connor Bedard, a little underwhelming this season, right? A little, it might be even generous.
I think so.
Spencer Knight gives you something to root for, and I think it gave the other players something to root for. Seth Jones, goodbye.
They won back-to-back games for the first time since December.
We always talk about the interim coach bump.
Yes.
This was the new goalie bump. Okay.
I like it.
Spencer Knight, welcome to Chicago.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night.
Oh, that's a good question.
What is the appropriate level of concern for Cubs center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong being a late scratch with hamstring soreness? What's a recommended approach here? Is he in any danger of taking that dangerous trip to Japan, or should he stay back with Nico Hoerner and possibly Matt Shaw?
You guys talked about this dangerous trip to Japan and how planes are different now and it's easy. You can have your feet up. You have the first class. I think the biggest problem about traveling somewhere far away is you don't have access to the facilities and the training room and the all the tools and necessities, and maybe the some of this training staff will stay behind to make sure that everyone's rehabbing. So I think that's sort of the point that I wanted to make. It's not necessarily about the flight. I think it's more about the access to facilities that you have in Chicago or, you know, Arizona that you wouldn't have in Tokyo. Okay, that's the first thing I want to say.
Well put.
Hamstring, it makes you a little nervous because those linger. And soft tissue, we see it a lot of times, especially for someone like Pete Crow Armstrong, who's on the move. He's on the move. He's a runner. He's speedy. He's quick. He's doing all the things. So
he's PC amazing.
He's PC amazing. And there's a little bit of concern there. I does feel like they're playing it safe in this current moment. But that Japan trip is going to be here before you know it. And
week from today.
Yeah, I it would be disappointing if he doesn't make it, because you really want him to sort of be the next star for that team.
So the Cubs play today. I'm guessing we won't see him out there today because they're going to be cautious. They don't play on Wednesday. They're getting their first day off of spring training. So I think that's going to be – so they got the Padres are there today. Wednesday is a day off. Then Thursday they host the Royals, and that's going to be a night game. So – could PCA and could Shaw, if PCA and Shaw are both in the lineup, I think there's a shot. If they're both out of the lineup, then I don't think there's a shot. So then what? Who's going to be playing center field? Right?
Who's the backup center fielder?
Is Ian Happ going to play center and you're going to put Suzuki in left?
Hey, Suzuki made a nice catch yesterday.
Right. I mean, we saw that. I mean, Suzuki's, you know, tinkering in left.
Yeah.
So is Ian Happ your backup center fielder? Could Ian Happ be the opening day center fielder?
No.
I'm just saying. What about the domestic? Who will be the domestic? Let's have a drink. Okay. I mean, if I hear one more thing about the domestic opener, okay, I'll have another domestic beer.
Domestic opener is what you order at 4:30.
Exactly. I love domestic opener.
I don't like this at all. This is a guy who is having a great spring. He's running around the bases like a little leaguer, and having all these extra bases and wreaking all this havoc. You can't do it with a bum hamstring. I don't know. I just hope it's a one-day thing. I hope it's a one-day thing that we're making too much out of. And yeah, I say that, and I see this morning that Colson Montgomery still is suffering from back spasms in White Sox camp. And I'm thinking, okay, things that you want to ignore, sometimes you can't. this can't be one of those things. They need PCA healthy. They need him running the bases. They need him on two good legs. So whatever it takes to get him so he's ready to go opening day, ready to be on that plane. It's not the space shuttle. You're not launching it. It's just a flight to Tokyo. Put him in business class. Put him in first class. Let him recline in the seats and make him comfortable. But I want PCA in the lineup on opening day.
It's a wonderful question, one that I've been thinking about.
That's the voice of our guy, Bruce Levine. White Sox hit back-to-back home runs. Luis Robert Jr., Mike Tauchman, continuing Robert's hot start. But what about Tauchman, given the chance to play every day? Could you predict how many games Tauchman will play and his home run RBI totals? Where will he hit in the Sox batting order?
Well, I think we tend to overlook Mike Tauchman. You take him for granted like you did with the Cubs, perhaps, and now he's gone. The Palatine Pounder, he comes with a nickname, and yesterday he delivered a homer. And you like his progress. He's a steadying influence in the clubhouse. He's a really steadying influence, I think, in that lineup. If I were the Sox, I might lead him off. Yesterday, he batted third. I don't think he's your number three hitter. I would lead him off because he takes a lot of pitches. He sets a good tone. He's a professional hitter. They don't have a ton of those in that lineup. And if you can get him as many at-bats as possible to wear down pitchers early in games and early in counts, then you want Mike Tauchman to be that guy. I don't know how many home runs he hits. I don't think that's his game necessarily. He can go deep every now and then.
But Pounder.
He's the Pounder. But he got that nickname probably when he was 14 and he was hitting it like 350 feet and nobody else could hit it that far. But I do like the nickname. I do like the player. I would lead him off, and I hope he stays healthy because the Sox have some issues in their outfield with injuries. I hope he stays healthy enough to play 130 games.
130 is a good number. 22 home runs?
I think that's a good number, too. That would be a good season
for Mike Tauchman. If he's batting leadoff, right? RBI total might be lower, right, because if he's batting leadoff. And then just to follow up on our last, because I think this is important, the fastest flight, according to the internets, from Phoenix to Japan, it's over 14 hours. So it's not just a little tiny flight. It's a 14-hour flight.
How long do most normal people sleep at night? 8 hours.
I mean, the last time you did that was
Saturday. Maybe.
He had 7 home runs last year, 29 RBI in 2024. If he more than doubles his home run total on this team,
what a bargain.
It's great.
I didn't predict my total. I think he's going to go 15 and 70. That'd be a good season.
Okay. 29 RBI last year.
70 is a lot at the leadoff spot.
Okay. Right? 15 and 60.
There we go.
Right. He's great. It's fun to watch him. I think hopefully he makes the people around him sort of better and energized and can elevate the people. I do like him in the leadoff, but if he's going to be the Palatine Pounder and hit a lot of home runs, maybe you don't want him leading off so you can get more RBIs. But I think he's exciting, and maybe that'll, you know, I think here's just a little theory. Luis Robert Jr. has for a long time sort of been like the White Sox, right, that you want to be the, I guess, sort of face of.
Well, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike Tauchman coming in, taking a little bit of that spotlight, makes Luis Robert fight to stay on the field and play a little bit better. I think the Mike Tauchman impact can't be understated. And if he produces, even better.
I don't know if that answered the question.
That's the voice of Billy Donovan. What version of the Bulls should we expect against the Cavs tonight at home? If the game is close in the final minutes, let's say within single digits, do you think Billy Donovan will play Matas Buzelis or continue to sit him in crunch time? And is that message consistent with the Bulls' mission?
What version will we get tonight? Who knows? Take a draw out of the hat. Let's see. Could it be the good Bulls? Could it be the okay Bulls? Could it be the bad Bulls? We'll find out here shortly. I would love to see more Matas in crunch time, because if you're trying to build winners and create winners, which has been Billy's message, we got to learn how to win and play games. We're not tanking. We're trying to learn how to win and build a culture here. Then you want to see Matas, who in a lot of ways could be your best player in some way, shape, or form right now, you want to see him in those moments. And learn how to win, oftentimes in this day and age in the NBA, happens in the final minutes and in crunch time. So if Matas isn't in there and it's a single-digit game in the fourth quarter, I'll be very disappointed.
I would be also disappointed. I doubt that it will be single digits, but Bouzelis needs to be playing as much as humanly possible. I mean, the Cavs are a 12-point favorite.
12.
The total's 224.5 per our friends over at Circa Sports Illinois. But what the Bulls really should do is pay close attention to how this... The Cavs are what the Bulls should be aspiring to be. The difference is, okay, like all NBA teams that are worth a darn, is you got to have a star. Donovan Mitchell is a star. And then you put people around the star. I mean, Zach LaVine. Did you see what your guy, Zach LaVine?
The
Western Conference Player of the Week.
Thank you for noticing that. It's not on the rundown, by the way. Why is it not on the rundown?
I forgot.
Why are you censoring?
I forgot.
Putting your own personal bent in the rundown.
Molly's not here today, so.
I'm sorry.
But, I mean, if the Bulls were to keep it to single digits, I would be shocked. But this is it's a Tuesday night in March.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that happens on a Tuesday night in March. Like, I wouldn't be floored if we walked in here tomorrow and the Bulls won the game. But I also wouldn't be shocked if we walked in here tomorrow and the Bulls lost by 20. So to Ruthie's point, who the heck knows, right? Pick it out of a bag.
Well, if the Bulls win the game, it will be because the Cavaliers looked at this as a Tuesday night they could take off.
And sat Donovan Mitchell.
And maybe, yeah. They are the number one seed in the East. They're coming in here 50-10.
50?
It's crazy.
They are 50-10. They win five. That means they win five out of every six games. And this is a team that is number one in the East. They have designs on an NBA title. Winning that this year with this collection would essentially, you're right, they have a star, but they also have a collection of players that are all-star caliber. It's not just Donovan Mitchell. It's everybody else that's contributing in a way that makes that roster look deep and as talented as it is. The Bulls, it's the NBA, they could take a night off and they could surprise some people. I doubt that happens. What you want is the Bulls to probably resemble the kind of game or to the kind of team they were on Sunday. They played the Pacers really well for 3.5 quarters, and then they ran out of gas. And that's going to happen against playoff teams. But Bouzelis has got to be in those moments, in those crucial sequences where he learns things from those experiences. He's probably going to guard Donovan Mitchell tonight. It's going to be a long night because he's been guarding the best player on the other team. He's been doing the Patrick Williams work until Patrick Williams comes back, whenever that is. Is he going to come back this year? There's a report that he could, KC said, maybe later this week on the road trip, possibly.
Oh, please.
Whatever. But Matas Bouzelis, if you're going to be a team that embraces this developmental stage of the season, then you've got to let him develop. Even though it could be difficult on his psyche because he can't guard guys down the stretch. So if it's close, he's got to be in the game.
Such a good question.
Our lads, David Syverson, raved about the batch of NFL running backs to us yesterday.
Deepest running back class I've ever had. And I've been doing this with our lads for 13 years now. And I've never seen a group quite like this. And I'll tell you what, it's at the top of the draft, these first round picks. I have three or maybe even four first round grades, but also rounds 3, 4, 5, you're getting guys that have legitimate starter grades. You can go down the list of guys and say, hey, we're going to add to this backfield. It's really, you got to answer the question, what kind of back do you want? Do you want a pass catcher, a speed guy, a between the tackles, bruiser? You will be able to find one of these guys for the first five rounds, no question.
In that context, does that make you feel like the Bears should or shouldn't be open to drafting a running back early? Does it depend on free agency?
Did you see where Ashton Jeanty has a Hallis Hall visit reportedly set up?
No.
I think it said he's got a Hallis Hall visit set up. That means that they're going to invite him to the premises to show him around. That's going to raise expectations.
Yeah.
That's going to raise expectations to what happens if he's there at 10 and you're Ben Johnson sitting next to Ryan Poles and you want to get the running back to imitate Jahmyr Gibbs? That's a conversation that's going to be an ongoing one until draft night. And I am going to keep an open mind about those possibilities, as I continue to say. It is as deep of a running back class as a lot of the guys, including everyone from Our Lads and some other scouts, have talked about. It's as deep as they can remember. That means at a non-premium position, which I guess running back still is or isn't, that even though I thought the running back was back in the NFL, I thought Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry revived the position. If that's the case, and you take Ashton Jeanty at 10, depends who else is there. It really does. I wouldn't take Ashton Jeanty over Will Campbell. I wouldn't take Ashton Jeanty over Kelvin Banks. Two offensive tackles that would probably help you more. But I'm not going to say unequivocally I would not take Ashton Jeanty at number 10, because if Ben Johnson wants him and finds ways to use him and they go out in free agency, they find two starters on the offensive line, it's a different scenario.
I think TBA. It's all about free agency, David, to your point, right? If they find the guys, and we're going to do a interior lineman roundtable before we get out of here at 10. We're going to go down to Indy and down to Atlanta and out to San Francisco to talk about some guys that could be at the top of the Bears' buying lists come March the 10th. You know, the other thing we don't know about, I love the media that covers the Bears, but another guy that I have not heard Ryan Poles and or Ben Johnson address this offseason is Roschon Johnson. What do they think of him? What does Ben Johnson think of, like, if he could put his hands on Roschon Johnson, what can he make of him? We did hear him address DeAndre Swift. They were together at one point, so he knows DeAndre well. You know, maybe the whole, you know, bringing the running back in, having the meeting with him in Indy is to kind of throw off the scent, maybe.
Could be.
Or maybe, listen, we're not hiding anything. We like this kid a lot. You know what? Or maybe they want to build him up, and maybe teams want to come up to 10, and the Bears would be willing to slide back a little bit and gain a third or a fourth round pick if this class is as deep as David Syverson from Our Lads told us yesterday.
In this context of what Syverson said about the running backs, you absolutely should not draft a running back at 10. There's no reason to do it. And David, you talk about Ben Johnson wanting the next Jahmyr Gibbs. Ben Johnson wants an offensive lineman. Ben Johnson needs offensive lineman. Based on what they did in Detroit, that is how he functioned, was the protection, the blocking, so that you can have guys like DeAndre Swift. Ben Johnson calls him Swifty. I know you're a big Swifty guy. Ben Johnson wants offensive linemen that can block, that can create holes, that can protect,
that can,
and then can maybe throw touchdowns every once in a while.
So
hopefully we're not handing any, you know, fourth and goal situations off to offensive linemen early on in the Ben Johnson era. However, back to the running back conversation. Is that a position of need for this Bears team? I believe so. I do not strongly want to see them draft a running back at number 10 overall.
Well, that's a great question.
That's the voice of Mike Florio, 844. He will be here. Jimmy Johnson retired from Fox Sports after 31 years, leaving a big void in the studio. Who would you like to see replace him? Is there any other choice but Tom Brady, David's guy? And how important is that job?
Probably the most fun I've ever had in my career, and that's counting Super Bowls and national championships, was at Fox Sports. You know, I have an absolute ball with my friends on the set, and the best friends I've ever had there with Fox. But I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire from Fox.
That's Jimmy Johnson with the Colin Cowherd program. So, your reaction to Jimmy's retirement, and who would you pick to fill those big shoes?
It's sad. I think Jimmy Johnson adds a great dynamic to the show. I also think that that show needs a shakeup. It's a lot of men, a lot of older men that have had great careers and add so much wisdom and expertise. I would love to see some youth. I would love to see some energy. I would love to see something different there. And I think this creates an opportunity to do that. I don't have the same vitriol toward Tom Brady that
I would not David call it vitriol. It's not vitriol.
David has toward Tom Brady in the booth. I think Tom Brady got better in the booth. Do I? And I was thinking about this on my drive in today. Being an analyst is a full-time job. People have dedicated their lives, their careers, their 9 to 5 Monday through Sunday to studying and preparing to have that job. Tom Brady has 37 jobs. One of them is being a part-time minority owner for an NFL team. It is impossible for him to dedicate as much energy and thoughtfulness and attention to the job of being an analyst that a lot of other people are putting in. And Tom Brady has unbelievable stories. I do think he's a great storyteller, and I actually very much enjoy watching him and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman interact in that setting on when he does make those studio appearances. I think it's a great dynamic, and I think it's nostalgic for a lot of people that watched those teams. But I just want to see some energy, and I don't have a candidate really to throw in the studio.
Well, that's what I was going
to
ask. I was going to put you on the spot a little bit. Like, we need a name.
It's
I don't disagree with where you're going.
Yeah.
But I can tell you who I don't want. I don't want more Gronk. I don't.
It's tired.
It doesn't work, especially in that setting.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I don't think they respect him much, the guys who have been on that set for forever. And I feel like we might be the ones who watch those shows. I know Dan Bernstein, goes out of his way to tell you that he doesn't watch. I record those shows. David shrugs his shoulders watching on Twitch. Okay, I think a short term, assuming that he can still join this program on a weekly basis.
Dave Wannstedt
is coach. And here's the key. Coach Wannstedt. Brandon and I were just talking about this. I think what you're missing when you take Jimmy away from that booth, and you add Gronk, let's just say that's the easy 2-foot putt. He brings energy. He brings some youth.
Yes.
You need a coach or a GM.
Yes.
A former coach or GM on that set. We don't need another player. We need a former coach or GM. And at one point, Dave was doing the pre-game show on Fox. No longer does. So I think Coach Wannstedt would be great in that role. Plus, he's got the Cowboy connection. He's got the Jimmy connection that people want.
No. So, there's no better storyteller.
Right. He would be great in that role. But if that means he can't be on this show, then no offense, Fox.
Find
somebody else.
Love Dave. That's an understandable idea. He does a terrific job. But this is a no-brainer. If you're Fox, this is a no-brainer. Tom Brady goes from the booth to the studio. There's no question that this is the move to make. This is the invitation, an opportunity to remove any kind of these questions about conflict of interest, have everyone parsing his words on every weekend, having him bigger than the game that he's covering. This is an opportunity for them. Put him in the studio. Put Greg Olson back in the booth with the number one team. This makes sense. It's football justice. This is what is Jimmy Johnson, thank you for being as good as you were at this job for so long. And good luck in retirement. Enjoy all those Heinekens on your boat. This is going to be a tremendous way to walk into the sunset, literally, down in South Florida. But this opens the door to having Foxes. This is an escape plan. This helps them avoid the conflict of interest that Tom Brady will face on a weekly basis as the minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. So hopefully they take advantage of this. You got your dynamic in the studio with Gronk and Edelman. If they want to do that, they can use them in a variety of ways. But this is Fox's opportunity to do the right thing, put Brady in the studio, put Greg Olson back where he belongs with the number one team, and call it a day.
No shot.
Gonna happen. We'll see. All right, that's the Pick 6. We will do the extra point when we come back. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.